I am Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called Six-Pack Sally, swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. Over the course of 9 years after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, the Hoodoo Investment Advisor was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. I have become a voice for investment clients, a voice for the good investment advisors. Please subscribe to my podcast. Become a Patreon. Yujing Zhang is the woman arrested at Mar-a-Lago. Yujing Zhang broke perimeters, past security, past barriers, and boundaries until a lower-level employee stopped Yujing Zhang. This story was of no surprise to me. I covered the White House and Capitol Hill from 2003 through 2010. You ain't heard nothing yet. Post covering the White House and Capitol Hill from 2003 through 2010, I heard of someone carrying two Chinese passports. So did the FBI. So did the FBI hear about the man that breached the nuclear military football and his connection to a criminal in the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, hands. The FBI doesn't connect dots well. I can explain. I do. I will. So Yujing Zhang was not the first person in the recent presidency to make the news breaching the sitting president's security. Actor Rick DeAgazio broke the Mar-a-Lago security perimeter too. DeAgazio promotes himself on IMDb, that social media site for Hollywood wannabes, a Tinder for people wanting to be found. For fame, the actor's hope. DeAgazio is the man who took the photos of President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at dinner, going one step further to pose alongside the military aide holding the nuclear football, as it is called. Sounding more familiar? Story gets curiouser yet. I crossed paths with Richard DeAgazio in the trial of the Hoodoo Investment Advisor Don J. Bennett, USA versus Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holdings. Yep, one cannot make what one sees on IMDb.com is not necessarily the truth and nothing but the truth, as courtroom script talk goes. I guess we can say that IMDb postings are a lot like FINRABrokercheck.org, fiction, curated to tell background quasi-truths of people Wall Street wants investment client victims to believe, then give life savings to. Richard DeAgazio, according to IMDb, was born December 19, 1944, in Waltham, Massachusetts. DeAgazio pens himself as actor and producer, known for Cond, 2010, Solitaire, 2008, and Oxymorons, 2010. He was previously married to Anne Uraco. Marriage ended 1999. Three kids. And DeAgazio's life, quote, is defining. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing. February 13th, 2017. News around the world picked up on a tweet Rick DeAgazio sent picturing D'Agostino alongside a young man in military dress. Rick's words describing the young man and that military man's role in international security says it best that this was the young man who carries the president's emergency satchel, which has launch codes for nuclear missiles, continuing it is held by an aide-de-camp, D'Agostino wrote in his post, and Rick is the man. News reported D'Agostino as a member of President Donald Trump's exclusive Mar-a-Lago club, but yeah, sort of. D'Agostino had just joined Mar-a-Lago a few months prior. 74-year-old D'Agostino kept tweeting. D'Agostino sent out pictures of Trump and Abe after North Korea launched a missile, writing, "Holy moly, it was fascinating to watch the flurry activity at dinner when the news came that North Korea had launched a missile in the direction of Japan," his post read. Wow, the center of the action. Rick made the news as a doofus, not arrested, a member. The lady from China made headlines, was arrested. D'Agostino's Twitter handle, @D'AgostinoRichard, accompanying a mini bio description, says the latest tweets from Richard D'Agostino, father, corporate executive, entrepreneur, board member, patriotic, Palm Beach, Florida. D'Agostino's Twitter handle must be updated to include Ponzi victim of Don J. Bennett, hoodoo investment advisor, woman with two Chinese passports. Bloomberg News Biographies gets high ranking in search hits. That is what Bloomberg's executive profiles and biographies does. While Richard Joseph D'Agostino, executive profile and biography Bloomberg, goes deeper into the man, there is more. Neither Twitter, Bloomberg, and IMDb say that I saw, that I heard in court, pre-trial, in the hearings of United States versus Don J. Bennett. Small world that it is, tracking these papers, this criminal, to the end goal of clearing my name, dots kept connecting as footprints were being removed diligently offline. Testimony came out in trial that I knew where to connect the testimony too. But of course the papers were provided to the Securities and Exchange Commission, to FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, to the D.C. DISB, District of Columbia, Department of Insurance, Securities and Banking, MPDC, Metropolitan Police Department, FBI, and the D.C. Council, and others I had been connected to since 2012, even earlier. At trial, Don Bennett's gopher, Mark Collins, testified Collins' jobs included washing the water wall and feeding false lines to people calling in for Don Bennett and or their money. Collins testified prior to working for Bennett. Collins was a teacher, leaving, I believe the year was 2015. It is not that Collins withheld detail on why Collins left teaching. No one asked Collins. While Collins was testifying in the witness stand, why did you leave teaching? And what did you mean when you said? No one asked. Pre-trial, the name of Rick D'Agostino came up while the second of Don Bennett's many lawyers was talking and talking and talking in the court. Fancied himself, it seemed, a Shakespeare of sorts. Shakespeare got paid by the word. Don Bennett's defense counsel, Mark Schammel, mentored D'Agostino and a bike rally, Sturgis. Shammel, it seems, was saying D'Agazio was a victim of Don Bennett, too. It seemed later on D'Agazio, the man that compromised President Trump's meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Abe at Mar-a-Lago, believed that, too, that he, D'Agazio, was a victim of Don Bennett, filing a claim inside FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority dispute forum for securities broker-dealer firms only, not for investment advisors or investment clients. D'Agazio knew this, knew better. Bloomberg Biographies and Profiles says he founded and served as the president of Boston Capital Securities Incorporated, a FINRA-registered broker-dealer, which is an affiliate of Boston Capital Corp. from 1981 through December 2007. Mr. D'Agazio served on the National Board of Governors of FINRA and served as a member of the National Adjudicatory Council of FINRA. He was a vice chairman of FINRA's District 11 and served as a chairman of FINRA's Statutory Disqualification Subcommittee of the National Business Conduct Committee. He also served on the FINRA State Liaison Committee, the Direct Participation Program Committee, and as a chairman of the Nominating Committee. The NAC, National Adjudicatory Council? Oh, that's the same committee Bernard Madoff and Bernard's son sat on, a committee where everyone volunteers for, I think, $30,000, a committee member told me, to adjudicate, to decide if their business league members did something wrong, bad enough to be called a crime, bad enough to call the cops. You are getting what I'm suggesting. You know, work buds who know if they call the cops, when they get caught, cops will get called too. A Wall Street version of scratch my back and I will scratch you. D'Agazio filed a claim in FINRA dispute resolution arbitration on February 27, 2019. March 13, 2019, D'Agazio alleged negligence, breach of fiduciary, alleged compensatory damage amount $255,000. The civil litigation is pending, allegedly. The matter is in FINRA, where D'Agazio knows complaints by investment clients against investment advisors do not go. Interesting how D'Agazio, prominent in FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority decisions, a peer to Bernard Madoff, did not know. Citing Meghan Markle's character in the biopic of Markle and Prince Harry meeting, London Bridges Falling Down. I had another connection to Bennett and D'Agazio, Sturgis and Bikers. Don Bennett had sued the nicest of guys I've never met in New York City for $75 million. I think the day Lucky returned a call to my email was his luckiest of days ever. Lucky was in the biker business, so to speak. Lucky knew something of Bennett and D'Agazio. Lucky knew about Sturgis. And Lucky knew more about Bennett. I just connect dots. There are other heroes unsung in bringing this criminal down. My contact remembered something about Sturgis and Bennett. Another Bennett victim, a lover, married, connected to Sturgis, came up in the hearings pre-trial. Oh, did I mention a victim? He was a victim, too. I knew about Sturgis, heard about it often enough every year come May. May is Memorial Day. Bikers and bikes flood into the tri-state DMV area, readied for rolling thunder. While I have hoped to sling across the back of a bike for the ride, I most often ended up covering the rally, K capturing key and newsworthy moments, my most memorable being wrangling a room full of riders for a shot. Wrangling cats is easier. I have done both. Bloomberg's profiles continues. Richard Joseph D'Agostino has been the principal of Ironsides Associates, LLC, a consulting company in marketing and sales in the financial services industry, since he founded in June 2007. Mr. D'Agostino has been director of Plymouth Industrial REIT, Incorporated, also currently and has been since 2009, chairman of the board of Agile OR, Incorporated, a supply chain software company, and a member of the board of directors of Commodore Builders, a construction management firm since 2009. 2016, Mr. D'Agostino was chairman of the advisory board of Billaway.com, a cloud-based technology platform in the mobile data industry. In 1981, he joined Boston Capital Corp, a diversified real estate and investment banking firm, as executive vice president and principal. He is a founder and past president of the National Real Estate Investment Association. He is past president of the National Real Estate Securities and Syndication Institute and past president. Prior to joining Boston Capital in 1981, Mr. D'Agostino was the senior vice president and director of the brokerage division of Dresdner Securities, an international investment banking firm owned by four major European banks, and was a vice president of Burgess and Leith Advest. He was a member of the Boston Stock Exchange for 42 years. He was on the board of directors of Cognistar Corporation and FurnitureFind.com, and recently retired from serving as vice chairman of the board of trustees of Bunker Hill Community College, the board of trustees of Junior Achievement of Massachusetts, and the board of advisors for Ron Burton's Kids Training Village. He is on the board of He graduated from Northeastern University. Now, enough personal puffing to assure this savvy Wall Streeter knows better than to tweet out the nuclear football holding dude's pick at Mar-a-Lago, or to become a victim to Ponzi scammer Don Bennett. D'Agostino lost $255,000 to Bennett's Ponzi scam. Small world of Ponzi scams that it is, Don Bennett connected to Massachusetts, too, with Bennett's funds and Western International Securities. Richard Joseph D'Agostino is no longer registered with FINRA BrokerCheck as a broker. D'Agostino was registered with Western International Securities from January 27, 2010 through May 3, 2013. Hoodoo Investment Advisor Don Bennett was registered with Western International Securities, too, as a broker. Don Bennett was not a broker for Bennett's Bennett Group Financial Service victims. Bennett was an investment advisor, according to the Barron's Top 100 listing that drew victims into Don Bennett. Bennett herself, as were Bennett's team themselves, independent contractors to Western International Securities. Bennett Group Financial Services had no contract with Western International Securities. A Bennett Financial Group did. That said, no one could know until I exposed papers first to the Securities and Exchange Commission and then to FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and in time to COPS. Don Bennett's and Western's defense counsel included a contract in their defense exhibits they gave in the arbitration to the arbitrators. The contract was for Don Bennett, CEO of Bennett Financial Group, not Bennett Group Financial Services. That contract provided access for Bennett to J.P. Morgan Clearing for clearing Bennett Group Financial Services client cash. Bennett had no route to clear victim cash through J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. I guess my exposing this detail is a reason why J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. shuttered, 2016. Quite a mess to weave through, and I did, one document at a time, so when I read about Nuclear Football Man in the Don Bennett hearing pre-trial, I knew where to go document-wise and who to give papers to. Exposing that FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, was intentionally mislabeling investment advisors as brokers, a con concocted by FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, to draw investment advisor issues away from JAMS and AAA, and to draw investment clients away from courts where even FINRA, on FINRA's website, states investment clients and investment advisors go for due process, not FINRA. When I read Yujing Zhang's pierced Mar-a-Lago security, I already knew how things were bad, not just in Mar-a-Lago, but in D.C. political events. I also knew before Yujing Zhang's arrest that Rick DiGazio's Ponzi scammer friend, who had this penchant for targeting conservative politicos, Don Bennett, had two Chinese passports. Bennett's two Chinese passports never made the mainstream news. It wasn't sexy enough that the woman targeting administration officials, including Larry Kudlow, Secretary Ben Carson, conservative pundits including Steve Forbes, Grover Norquist, FBI, and others, carried two Chinese passports the FBI seized that day in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and Northwest D.C. The Securities and Exchange Commission knows investors, investment clients, anyone outside of FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, would not, could not know an older, unrelated individual's FINRA brokercheck.org detailed report sheds light on how decades older Wall Street crimes are unknown. FINRA brokercheck.org detailed report says this individual is no longer registered with FINRA. The individual's registration with FINRA was terminated prior to August 1999 when the enhanced CRD system was implemented. As a result, since the individual was not required to update their CRD record via the submission of a Form U-4 to CRD since August 1999, BrokerCheck contains only limited information about this individual. Don Bennett's crimes, not called crimes by FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, Don Bennett's crimes go back to the 1980s. Information is, as FINRA Senior Examiner Kevin Hsu on the Don Bennett and RBC matter emailed, this is called by FINRA, aging out, gone without a record for victims, for lawyers to look at, for judges, for the Supreme Court of the United States of America to look at, gone. The Securities and Exchange Commission averted eyes on Don Bennett crimes, actively targeting 8.5 more years of victims, conservatives too. Karma is not a bitch. Karma is dedication, persistence, aggregated fact carefully shared, connecting dots others do not have the history on to see or to know. In these days of the internet, online history lasts only as long as that posting, and these postings are removed offline, as did Ms. Bennett's desk testify in trial. You can't call Mark Collins a receptionist. Mark did not call himself a receptionist. Mark was that guy, Collins testified, who lied to investment client victims and others calling into Bennett Group Financial Services, following the scripts Mark Collins testified during trial, following the scripts of what to say if Don Bennett's mother or father called, if this partner or so that person believed themselves to be in Don Bennett's schemes, based upon verbal and emailed and written misrepresentations Ms. Bennett made to them, scripts for what to say if contractors owed money called. Collins had no script for what to say when the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, came calling as they did, as testified, guns drawn, a multi-force coordinated response to Ms. Bennett's offices located in the Chevy Chase Pavilion in posh Upper Northwest, D.C. A few short blocks from where Ms. Bennett lived, on top of the world, so to speak. Penthouses, two, side by side adjoining, one penthouse for Miss Bennett's clothes to live in, the second penthouse for Miss Bennett to live in, a penthouse packed with precious, priceless Chinese antiques, a destination. In 5 more years of victims, post my D.C., D.I.S.B., District of Columbia, Department of Insurance Securities Banking tip, never got off their duffs to travel from Union Station adjacent to investigate by foot, by scooter, by Uber, by drone, by carrier pigeon, nothing. Tony Miles, head of DISBE, and his associates Sanayat Miaza, Brad Kunzweil, did not travel there. Seems the D.C. DISBE budget limited Miles, Miaza, and Kunzweil to travel, expenses paid, to NASAA, North American Securities Administrators Association spring luncheons on New Jersey Avenue, U.S. Capitol adjacent, or to Philadelphia, as Securities and Exchange Commission Freedom of Information Act documents reveal, failing to shut the Ponzi scam down earlier, failing to save more victims. China was part of Don Bennett's myth and mystique, pitched to Wall Street, making Don Bennett an expert to Trump advisor Larry Kudlow and other financial entertainment newsies, believing Bennett a brick expert, with Bennett alleging Bennett lived in China, went to school in China, worked teaching English in China, details the FBI and U.S. attorneys could not sort out during and post-trial time. Brick? Britain? Russia? India? China? If you ask me if Bennett is an expert on Britain, Russia, India, China, I can believe it, but not for the reasons you might think. Bennett was chasing these and other countries online in which to hustle her scams, her fashions. VC Venture Capital KPCB Seed, Kleiner Perkins Caulfield Byers Seed Amazon, it came out in trial via United States government presentation. Amazon was a vehicle Don Bennett used to move product, and with moving product, so is money. Moving, that is. Securities broker-dealer Western International Securities firm is regulated through FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority's Los Angeles District Office. There is also a Western International Securities Investment Advisory Firm. The two are distinct and separate companies. And Western is the investment advisor, the investment advisory firm under Securities and Exchange Commission oversight, not FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. For the record, neither was Bennett Group Financial Services, LLC, under the oversight of FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Shocking as it was, as it turned out, neither was Bennett Group Financial Services, LLC, under the oversight of the Securities and Exchange Commission oversight, as it was, as it turned out. Bennett Group Financial Services, LLC, had less than $5 million, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission's Form ADV Part 2. Bennett co-owner Tim Augustin filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission under penalty of perjury. Interesting that Don Bennett's CRD is 106 pages. Western International Securities CRD lists 7 regulatory events, 5 arbitrations. 5 arbitrations, despite being named jointly with Bennett in each and every financial industry regulatory complaint arbitration since 2012, upwards of 35 plus and growing. Concept Brokerage Holding Corporation, a domestic company alleged in FINRA BrokerCheck detailed report to be the parent company of Western International Securities broker-dealer firm allegedly since 1995. 75% of ownership, directing the management of the policies of the firm, Western International Securities. Concept Brokerage Holding Corporation is not a public reporting company, all of which the most current online FINRA brokerage detailed reports for Western International Securities says. Most current? Yes. Papers in FINRABrokerage.org have a way of changing mysteriously. After all, FINRA is a 501c6, an approved IRS, Internal Revenue Service, dues collecting business league, kinda nonprofit, for FINRA securities broker dealer firms only, where for decades investment client victims and investment advisors have been misled into to sue. In 2019, Don Bezub is listed as Concept's CEO, MP, and director. Bradley Kaiser is listed as Concept's chief compliance officer. Donald, CRD number 1600090. Bradley, CRD number 2523397. Donald's start date, 1299. Less than 5% ownership, allegedly. Listed as an owner directing the management or policies of the firm. Kaiser, start date, 2009. Less than 5% ownership, not listed as an owner directing the management or policies of the firm. A third person, Wendy Austin Rhea, CRD 724857. Individual, senior managing director listed, start date 2014. Less than 5% ownership, listed as an owner directing the management or policies of the firm. Do the math, that's 15%. Indirect owner Vadim Kebets, listed as foreign entity, shareholder, listed as relationship to direct owner, established June 2011, percentage of ownership 25%, but less than 50%. No direct management of the policies of the firm, same as with Zine LLC, start date June 2011. Approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission November 29, 1995. Approved by SRO, Self-Regulatory Organizations, FINRA, the CBOE, and the BZX on 11/15/2010 and August 2008, respectively. November 15th, 2010 is 2 months after I turned my tip into the Securities and Exchange Keith Canyon. November 2010 is 1 month before the Securities and Exchange Commission confirmed me as their investment client whistleblower, 12/22/10. Canyon works for the SEC Division of Investment Management, down at 100 F Street Northeast, adjacent to Union Station, kitty corner to Christian Coffee Shop Ebenezer, tucked away, hidden behind the Thurgood Marshall Building. Funny, isn't it, how life and karma can be scripting jokes even Jimmy Kimmel could never conceive of? John Oliver with his eye on Wall Street? Maybe. Maybe. So what is the SEC Form ADV Part 2? Probably the most important piece of paper investment clients do not hear of. Oh, I did, August 13th, 2010. That day changed my life. That day, the SEC Form ADV Part 2 kicked off my pursuit unknowingly on the trail of solving, connecting dots on the greatest crime against the American people. Poor man. Poor Keith Canyon, who fielded my call. Oh, we will talk, promise. I don't know whether to thank him or troll him. I do not. June 5th, sentencing date. We will talk more. We will. Be good. Be back. Please subscribe. Become a patron. Visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please, LinkedIn. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of. Off your time invested and your dime earned. Share our podcast. Share your papers. I want to see them. The arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. Until next time.